This is Suno India production. You can now listen to all our episodes on our Android and iPhone app. Download it now.
In a landmark judgment, the Supreme Court has struck down the electoral bonds scheme, declaring it unconstitutional. Electoral bonds are interest-free financial instruments that allow anonymous donations to political parties. They were launched by Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government in 2018 to make political funding more transparent. But critics say that it has done the opposite and made the process more opaque. The ruling Bharatiya Janata Party has received most of the funds through the bonds. The scheme was challenged in the Supreme Court as quote-unquote distortion of democracy. On Thursday, a five-judge constitution bench ruled that electoral bonds violate citizens' right to access information held by the government. Chief Justice of India D.Y. Chandrachud said this, and I quote, "The right to information law is not confined to state affairs, but also includes information necessary for participatory democracy." He also said that the political parties are relevant units in the electoral process, and information about funding of political parties is essential for electoral choices. The court also observed that the electoral bonds are not the only scheme to curb black money, and there are other alternatives. The court ordered the State Bank of India to stop issuing electoral bonds and disclose the details of the donors and the recipients to the Election Commission of India. This is a landmark verdict for transparency and accountability in the Indian democracy. We are republishing a part of our episode from our show Every Voice Matters, which was originally published in 2019. The host and Suno India editor Padma Priya then spoke to General Anil Verma of the Association of Democratic Reforms on this contentious topic. The second part of the episode talks about electoral bonds. This is his take.
A contentious and interesting aspect of elections in our country is that of political funding. So I think we're moving into one of the more interesting and also the most contentious issues, which is linked to political funding. A lot has been happening around this in the last few years. So maybe you could start with just giving us a quick brief on how political parties get funded and what kind of funding is actually allowed and what is legal.
I would say across the world, wherever the democracies are functioning, political funding is a big problem. I would say it is the fountainhead of corruption, because from there the corruption flows down. And in most of the democracies, you will find that the chunk of the funding is from corporates, and which relates to the thing of quid pro quo. And when the governments come to power or the political parties form governments, let me put it that way, then they have to repay. So that is done in the form of contracts and, you know, crony capitalism and all that sort of thing. So this is the basic thing, and there's a lot of recommendations which have been given by the Election Commission of India, by the Law Commission, especially the last report, 255th Law Commission report, I remember, devotes a substantial number of pages only on political funding. And they have suggested, given very good suggestions in that. But the problem is that the political will is not there to implement any of the electoral reforms, for the simple reason that they don't want their funds to be blocked, or, you know, this thing. There are so many other suggestions, like, you know, there should be state funding. There are so many other things which have been given. Everything has been discussed threadbare, but nothing is changing, because the political parties don't want the system to change. The role of black money, phenomenal amount of black money is pumped into this thing. So nobody is saying that money is not required for holding elections. Of course money is required, but there has to be a limit laid down. Like you have laid down a limit for the candidates. Say for Lok Sabha it is 70 lakhs expenditure, for the state assemblies it is 28 lakhs, and for smaller ones it is 15 or 17 lakhs or something. Why can't there be a cap, a similar cap on the political party expenditure? There is none. They can spend any amount of money, and they do it. I mean, all these helicopters flying around, all these huge rallies, preparation, people being moved from one state or district to the other, all that costs money. Where is it going? Where is it coming from? Humongous amounts of money is being spent. The last Lok Sabha election, the official figure was 30,000 crores. You can imagine what the actual figure must be. Must be five times that at least. In his book, Dr. Qureshi, the ex-chief election commissioner, in his first book, he's written another one now, he has mentioned that you talk to any of these privately, the politicians will tell you, if you remember, Gopinath Munde had openly said that he spent 8 crores. So, Dr. Qureshi in his book has worked out that if you work out an average expenditure of X amount, for a Lok Sabha election, it comes to 1,25,000 crores. That is a reasonable estimate he had given. So that is the type of this thing we are talking about. Now, how do the political parties get funded? Well, they have various things. When you see their income donation and income expenditure reports which they submit to the election commission, there are various heads. Different parties have different heads. One is sale of coupon. Then there are specific terms for donation like Ajivan Sahyog Nidhi. BJP follows this. Then there are membership fees and levy. This is, most of the parties have this and the communists also have this. Then they have sale of assets. Then there are donations from like electoral bonds have been introduced now. So these are the various methods under which donations can be made. Now, as to what is legal, what is not legal. Firstly, companies registered abroad cannot fund the political parties. This is given out in Section 3 and 4 of the FCRA, 1976. Similarly, no government company or organization can subscribe, give donations to the political party. As per the Section 29B of the Representation of People's Act, every political party may accept any amount of contribution voluntarily offered to it by any person or company other than a government company, provided that no political party shall be eligible to accept any contribution from any foreign source, as defined under Clause E, Section 1-2 of the FCRA, is what I mentioned. Then in Section 29C of the RPA, it says it's mandatory for political parties to submit to the Election Commission a list of donations they receive of over 20,000 rupees in Form 24A. And where such a political party fails to submit a report, the political party shall not be entitled to any tax relief. So the only disadvantage they have is that if you don't submit your report to the Election Commission, you are not entitled for income tax exemption. Otherwise, you can collect any amount, spend any amount. There is no limit.
One of the key changes that took place with regards to political funding was the introduction of electoral bonds. Electoral bonds were announced in the 2017-18 budget. Since then, questions have been raised regarding how this will impact transparency in political funding. So, what is an electoral bond? It is a bond issued in the nature of a promissory note and is a banking instrument. Interestingly, it neither carries the name of the buyer nor the payee. Electoral bonds can be purchased from an authorized bank, in this case it's the State Bank of India, and can be issued to a political party. It has to be cashed in via the party's verified bank account within 15 days. The identity of the donor will be known only to the bank and otherwise will be kept anonymous. So who can buy the bond? It can be you, me, or even a company or a firm. It can also be, say, a group of people or an association of people, whether they are legally incorporated or not. And political parties who are registered under Section 29A of Representation of People's Act and a party which has secured at least 1% of votes which were polled in previous general elections can encash this. These bonds are available usually in the denominations from 100 rupees to upwards of 1 crore rupees. While the bonds themselves have to be brought through banking system, there is still opaqueness when it comes to this scheme. We spoke to Mr. Anil Verma about this and more. Incidentally, the Association for Democratic Reforms had also approached the Supreme Court seeking a stay on the sale of electoral bonds. The first political party which actually moved the court was CPI. It had moved the court in February 2018 against electoral bonds. It said that the non-disclosure clause will add woes to Indian democracy.
See, what has happened is this is a devious method introduced to introduce total opacity in the political party funding of big amounts. As you're aware, the scheme had been introduced by the government. Though the finance minister in his speech, in the budget speech also, and later on also in the parliament, he said this is going to enhance transparency. We fail to understand how it is enhancing transparency. When you don't know the donor name, how is it? And the reason given was that they are afraid of the other party being vindictive if the next party comes to power and the next this thing. That doesn't hold any water, that sort of a, this thing. So what they have done with this scheme is that one is, and the analysis of the last 1 year or so since it started from last year, 1st March, if I recall correctly. So it is every quarter for 10 days, this window is open. Bulk of the sale has been of the larger denomination, this thing. You see, it is, I think, 10,000, 1 lakh, 10 lakh, 1 crore, so and so forth. Bulk of the donations have been received in the crores variety. And as per the report published, I think, last month only, 99% of it has gone to BJP. So it is obviously loaded in favor of the party, whichever party is in power, and probably that is why the opposition parties or the other national parties did not raise much of a hue and cry when this scheme was evolved. Because they feel, okay, next time it may be our chance, we will also get this thing. The other fact which they say is that we are going digital. Okay, fine. They say KYC is there, fine. But the public doesn't know, na? It is only the State Bank of India, the RBI and the government which knows. The government says, no, we don't. But obviously, if the SBI and the RBI know, then the government knows who is getting money. Now, even in their reports, which they are required to submit, the income and expenditure report and the donations report, which the political parties submit to the Election Commission of India, it does not specify which party. It just says electoral bond, X amount. So what use is that? I mean, Election Commission of India, the civil society, the common man, they want transparency. So how is transparency being enhanced in this? It is absolutely the opposite. And they have also amended, as you are aware, under the finance bill and the FCRA and all, they have amended. There used to be a limit of 7.5% of the profit of the corporates over the last 3 years. They have removed all that. So now it is unlimited amounts. It can come from any dubious source. Even shell companies can be floated. Who will get to know? No, they will say, no, KYC is there. Yeah. But we know how the paper trail is made. So it's not easy to beat the system. So these are all the dangers of this electoral bond. That is why ADR has filed a petition, and I think CPI has also filed a petition against the electoral bonds in the Supreme Court.
So what kind of legislative changes do you think are required to actually make political funding more transparent? Because from what you're saying, the exact opposite seems to have happened in terms of legislative changes.
So as I mentioned to you, there are a number of changes which have been suggested in the Law Commission report and by the Election Commission themselves, but it is not acted upon. That is the problem, you see. For example, the basic thing is that there should be declaration of 100% donor details. Now coming to the question of anonymity. Earlier that limit was 20,000, now they lowered it to 2,000 and below you can receive in cash. So what happens is, as per the ADR reports, 75% of the funding of the political parties was from unknown sources. Because only about 20,000 you are supposed to reflect who has given you with all the bank details and everything. Below 20,000 there was nothing. So now they have made it 2,000. But even below 2000, they can keep cutting receipts of 1999. So it doesn't make a difference, really speaking. So there should be 100% details of the donors, which should be submitted to the Election Commission. their political parties say, no, we are national parties. Who is going to count 10 rupees and 100 rupees and all? It's very difficult for us. So they generally give that excuse, but that's no excuse. CAG and the even in the Law Commission report, as I mentioned to you, they have given a very detailed this thing as to how the accounts should be audited. It should not be some favorite chartered accountant who's been working for a political party for 20 years and he makes the report as per their requirement. It should be a panel appointed by the CAG of eminent chartered accountants whose credentials are known, and it should be changed. There is a rule also as per the income tax law. I think you are supposed to change the chartered accountant every 3 years or something, but they don't. The same guys are carrying on. So that is another one. Then, as I had already mentioned earlier, this limit of 7.5%, which was done away with, that is very important. It should be it should be there. Otherwise, I mean, unended donations can be there, you know, and from whatever source.
In terms of political funding, are there any other models which are actually working in a legitimately transparent manner elsewhere that maybe India as a nation can adopt?
Yeah, there are so many of them, but most of the people favor the state funding or whatever, by whatever name you can call it, wherein there are so many models, you know, like some people suggest that, okay, as per the size of the party, as per the vote share in the total, you know, whether it is the general election or the state election, the amount should be given by the government to that political party. That can be laid down. It may be a multiple of, you know, 10 rupees per vote or something like that. Anything can be worked out. So that there is no crib that, okay, we are a national party, we've got 1 crore of members and this guy is a, you know, chota sa party and how can you give the equal amount? That's okay. It's a legitimate this thing. Because expenditure has to be there. So the issue is as to how to separate the corporates from the... You see, earlier, if you remember, I think in Indira Gandhi's time, the corporate funding was banned for some time. But then again, it came back because of some issues. I do not know really what happened. But the main thing is that there has to be a limit to the expenditure. That has to be laid down after consultation between the parties and the government and the Election Commission of India. A reasonable amount is okay, fine. I mean, why? What is the need of having, you know, these amount which they spend on the media and the publicity and the hoardings and all this? To give you an example, when I went to Bihar in the last elections, when I got down from the airport, there were 3 identical hoardings right outside the exit of this thing, huge ones, which each of them, you know, if you put them in, we also checked out the rates. They're horrendous. They're 65,000 per day, 1 lakh rupees per day for big size hoarding. I mean, that's the type of money. Yeah. Why are you wasting it? I mean, do your thing. I mean, nobody is telling you not to canvass, but yeah, this is ridiculous.
Can you tell us how political funding actually impacts electoral outcomes and therefore governance?
As far as... the outcomes, yes, money is playing an extremely important part, and that is why they are spending so much money. In spite of all the restrictions of the Election Commission of India, their observers, their expenditure details which are to be submitted and all, it's like a cat and mouse game between the political parties and the Election Commission. They come up with ingenious or rather disingenuous ways of beating the system, and you know, now in this thing of cashback and all, those methods are being employed. Coupons are being given, various things, and especially Tamil Nadu is the leader in this. They come up with brilliant ways of distributing money. So it is a fact. You ask the politicians, they say, "Hum kya kare? Voter mang raha hai paise. We are giving." Voter says, why not? This is one occasion when we are getting money, making money, but we vote for whoever we wish to, ultimately. But the fact is that it does make a difference. This is, and especially this is done in the last 2 days or so, and it makes a difference, you know, this thing. You've seen these by-elections of this place, Tamil Nadu, where it was, these huge amounts of money was found and it was cancelled, and then again it was the same thing happened again. So this is a very, I would say, big bane of the our electoral system. How to curb this distribution of money and freebies to the voters? Because both the parties are willing, and if you read some of these books written by Milan Vaishnav and all, he's given some very wonderful examples. There's one guy, he says that, I know if I don't give money, I will lose. Because the other guy is giving so much money. So he says, what do? I'm forced to distribute money. So this is a sad state of our democracy if we are in this sort of a thing where, you know, money is playing a role. So what are we talking about selecting good people and all that sort of thing? So it is a very tough task. And because of that, we have started now a program called Hum Badlenge Apna Bharat, in which we have started targeting the youth. We are trying to tell them that if you don't understand this game, things will continue like this and you are going to be suffering. Now, coming to that point of governance. Now, if these guys, and as I always mention, it is nowadays a self-financing scheme. The political parties do not spend much money on the candidates. That is why they select guys who are rich. If you see any of the state assemblies or the Lok Sabha presently, 80 to 90% of them are crorepatis. Crore is nothing nowadays, but they are into hundreds of crores. So one is, where is the level playing field? Can a common man can even think of contesting? You can't. So one is that. So they buy the ticket from the party, so they are giving money to the political party. Then they are spending X amount on the canvassing and the campaign. That also he is giving himself. So when is he going to recover it? So when he comes to power, he recovers 10 times. Now this game has to stop. This is not what democracy is all about. I mean, I'm afraid to use the word, but this is a rotten state. This is what we have to, you know, educate people that. So that is how the governance suffers. So if you are going to give contracts to some people, vested interests, then all sorts of corruption takes place. So obviously it is the infrastructure which suffers. It is the water, school, bijli, pani, all these things which suffer. Because the money is pocketed by the politicians who spend that thing. And then this, it's a vicious cycle. Then he starts collecting for the next elections. So this is a problem. We have to stop this and we have to educate the people. That is why we keep at it. Though people say this thing of, you know, criminals, and it's increasing. Yes, it is increasing. But we need to keep at it and keep telling the young people that, look, this is the situation which you are, you know, inheriting. You are the people who have to change it.
Here are some interesting facts about electoral bonds. A whopping 99.8% of donations received by political parties were through electoral bonds of the highest denominations, rupees 10 lakhs and rupees 1 crore. And this collection took place between March 2018 and January 24, 2019. This data was obtained by Madhya Pradesh-based social workers under the Right to Information Act. The Supreme Court last week ruled that electoral bonds will not be stopped in the middle of national elections. In an interim order, however, the court asked all the political parties contesting to give details of the funds received through these bonds in a sealed cover to the Election Commission.